All for joining us, and welcome to the Senate Committee on Governance and Finance. Hope all of you enjoyed last week, a little craziness, and that this week is a bit calmer. We're grateful to be able to have you back, to be able to kick off the second half of Governance and Finance for the 2017 legislative year. We're going to be kicking off as a subcommittee today. We'd like to be able to deal with some housekeeping items. There are going to be two bills on consent today, item number 2, AB 94, and item number 5, AB 652. When we have a quorum, we will ask for a motion to approve the consent calendar. There are going to be two bills that will be pulled by the author today. Which means we're going to have a shorter hearing. Number 3 on your agenda, AB 454, and then number 7 on your agenda, AB 1226. So we'll have those two bills that are going to be pulled, and they will be pulled per the author's request. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome. We are grateful that you're here. Let's kick it off with the good senator, Senator Morrell, who is going to be celebrating the 39th anniversary of Proposition 13. We are offended that he did not bring any cake. My goodness, right? And at least some champagne for Senator Bell. My goodness. All right, he doesn't drink. All right.
Good news of trying to keep our taxes lower.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. And the only reason why, exactly, Morlock doesn't like champagne because he needs something harder. So, see, there we go. Exactly.
He usually starts a little earlier in the morning
He does. It's 9:40. It's a little late for him.
I take that back since he's on my side.
All right. Hey, there we go.
You ready?
All of a sudden, it got really awkward with Senator Morlock. Hey, there we go.
Mr. Chair and fellow members and good friends, I am here today to present SR 39, which was commemorating the 39th anniversary of Proposition 13. And over the last three decades, it's kept countless seniors in their homes. It's helped make the dream of home ownership for first-time home buyers. It's helped low-income, middle-income, upper-middle-income, as just as we want our state to be, opportunity for all and favoritism towards none. And so this has been good. Additionally, in case if you didn't know this, I just found this out, it's made property taxes a stable income. Did you know that? You did. Good. A predictable source of revenue, even during economic downturns. During the depths of the last recession and the worst general fund year, which was 2007, 2008, all the way to 2008 and 2009, the property tax revenue increased by 6%. And so that's why it's important to reaffirm our commitment to the voters, who again protects all the citizens who want to buy a home and who are in homes, again from seniors on fixed incomes to the low income, first time buyers, and everybody in between. And that's why I ask for an aye vote on commemorating this great day.
Thank you so much, Senator Morrell.
You're welcome.
If it's okay with you, we're going to hit a pause button and be able to establish a quorum real quick. And Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
McGuire.
Here.
McGuire present. Gwynn.
Here.
Gwynn present. Bell.
Here.
Bell present. Hernandez. Hertzberg. Laura. Morlock.
Present.
Morlock present.
A quorum has been established. I'm going to ask that we move forward on our consent calendar real quick just to be able to get that out of the way. The two bills, AB 94, AB 562. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move it.
We have a motion by the good Vice Chair. Thank you so much, Vice Chair. On AB 94, AB 652, Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Gwynn?
Aye.
Gwynn, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hernandez, Hertzberg, Lara, Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye.
Hey, see, there we go. Exactly. So that is currently a 4-0. We're going to keep the roll open. Mr. Morrell, thank you very much for your presentation. We'd like to be able to invite any individual who would like to be able to speak in support of SR 39 to be able to please come forward at this time.
We have the Howard Jarvis organization who's in support. They're going to be here, but they're running late today. But at least you know they're in support. So thank you.
No, absolutely. And we'll have them come up if they get here at any time to be able to say a few words. Thank you very much. Anyone in support right now on SR 39 like to be able to advance, please come forward. All right. We'd like to be able to see if we have any individual who is opposed to SR 39 to please advance at this time. All right, we're going to bring it back to the committee and have any questions or conversation. Please, Mr. Morlock.
I'm just curious, why did rules have this come here as opposed to just going straight to the floor? This is just a resolution.
Typically, so just like we had Mr. Mendoza that came forward with a resolution, anything on issues of finance, we will typically get them. I will be honest with you. Mr. Morlock, I don't have a very specific rhyme or reason. I've heard from rules, but let me see here.
Been referred to them in the past.
All right, and we have, that's right. And we have actually received this resolution. I think, Mr. Morrell, you've been in this committee in years past. But being candid with you, Mr. Morlock, I don't have any specific rhyme or reason. I had not heard from rules.
May I move the?
Yes, please. So we have a motion on the floor on that. Before we go to a vote, I'm going to have a few words, but I would like to be able to see if there's anyone else that would like to be able to speak on this resolution. All right. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Senator Morrell for advancing this. And I think that SR 39 speaks to really the monumental change that we've seen in California policy when it comes to the adoption of Prop 13 back in 1979. And it very clearly talks about the benefits that California taxpayers have seen for the greater part of 37 years in the state. The one challenge that I have with this and communicating with Mr. Morrell, and I really appreciate Mr. Morrell and his office being collaborative in this effort, and thank you so much, Senator, is that while there are very clear benefits property owners across the state of California, no matter if you are a residential property owner as well as a commercial property owner, there are some concerns that we also advance and wanted to be able to look at some language to be added to the resolution. And I think that everyone who has lived in the state for the last 40 years has felt both positive and at times challenged when it comes to the issues of Prop 13. The amendments, in my opinion, would have added a balanced perspective that included, frankly, an honest discussion about the initiative's drawbacks as well as its historical implications. And what I also appreciate is Mr. Morrell has respectfully said, thank you so much for the suggestion of the amendments, but we'd like to be able to bring forward the current resolution in its standard form. I'm not going to be able to support the resolution today, but again, this is in no way a reflection of Senator Morrell, who works hard day in and day out on behalf of the people of California, but will not be able to support it. But we do have a motion on the floor. Mr. Morlock.
My apologies. I don't have copies of your amendments.
Let me check in. Hang on 1 second. We'll pass it right down. I apologize.
Because you're a former supervisor, and you know, property tax now represents about 90%, 92% of the revenues for the County of Orange. And so it is nice that it's stable, but boy, when there's a recession, you know, counties start to feel it. So it's, but it's provided an amazing stability. I just wish counties had a more diversified portfolio of revenue sources.
And in fact, I think Senator Morrell brings up a great point. It has brought stability. We have added some language about, candidly, some of the challenges that we see in regards to Prop 13. At the same time, though, as I said, I'll be the first to say there are significant benefits what Prop 13 has advanced here in the Golden State. I do think that there are some challenges. We point out some of those challenges. And I apologize that we do not have that, and we have the one copy there. I'm going to pause for about 2 minutes just to ensure that the Vice Chair, Mr. Morlock, can read those amendments, just to be fair. So we're going to take a quick two-minute break just to make sure that the senators can read the amendments. We'll be right back with you, and I apologize, Mr. Morrell.
I'm fine with that.
That's it.
Just maybe as they read, highlight to the audience here the two or three things that you have a problem with Prop 13 on, if you want to point out some of the amendments you wrote here.
Yeah, I mean, the issue that we have is that we're actually not formally offering them because the author has decided not to take them, which is why we don't have them in your packet, as the author has made it clear, again, with great respect, and I want to continue to say that, does not want to take those amendments. So they're not on the floor here today to be able to take up. It is. Again, because the author has said that he does not want to take amendments, they are not here for any formal action by this committee today, which is why they're not embedded in your packet. But I think Mr. Morrell has inferred and brings up a good point. Anytime that we would offer any type of amendments, what we're going to make sure for due diligence in the future to make sure that you have a copy of those, even if the author is not going to be accepting them, just so that you're able to see what the discussion has been in the back and forth.
You accept some of them?
I do not believe so, but that is a good question for the author. If there are any items that he would like to be able to
accept. I'll take the one word whereas, but no, not really. And the reason why is sort of the big print giveth and a little print taketh away, Senator Morlock. Proposition 13, we're here to honor the 39th anniversary on voters who want to keep their property taxes low. So some of these amendments, in other words, the small print again giveth a little, or the big print giveth, little print taketh away. It says we honor Prop 13, but then again, people who bought their homes years ago, it's unfair that their property taxes are still low. And so let's possibly think about raising them. And the thing that if you go back and look at the history of Prop 13, the Howard Jarvis Amendment on keeping everybody's property tax low, it's because at the time, California's rate was pushing 3%. And New York's at 3% right now, New Jersey's at 4%. And so the way this body here seems to work, we could easily get back up to that 3 or 4%. And so if you have a home in Orange County, which would be a low price at $400,000, that means your taxes go as high as $12,000 to $16,000 for property taxes. And again, I think home ownership, you know, the founders talked about property rights, not just that, but things that we own when we work sweat and toil for them. Of course, the largest asset is our homes. That should be our security blanket, you know. And so the thing is these amendments sort of say, you know, let's those people who've been there for a long time, that's unfair. Let's raise their property taxes. And then some of the other ones seem to want to help one group or another group. And what I think is we should have, again, opportunity for all in California, favoritism towards none. And so that's why I can't accept these, because it goes contrary to the spirit and the will of the voters in Prop 13. So that's why I didn't take any.
So I have to respect the good senator. I wouldn't. Never take you on.
There we go, good times.
If you recommended some amendments, I'd sit and think about what I would. But, so he's a tough guy.
You know, he is, and does great work.
Him.
So you are. You
I'm
are.
Scared of him. So how?
No. And I'll just say, Madam Vice Chair, just one. I was just going to say is that what we say is that it shifted the burden of financing public services from property taxes onto other revenue streams. Which, as we've seen, and I think this is one item that Mr. Morlock has advanced, is the concern in regards to the over-reliance at times of sales tax, how that's also impacted the zoning in many communities to be able to zone towards bringing in businesses in regards to sales tax. And what we've also seen are additional enhancements of caps. Again, the good author has said, thank you, but not going to be taking that language. And I'm paraphrasing here, by the way. We talked about transferring the significant authority to the state, including the power to allocate property tax revenues. And what we've also said is, and these are all, I'm paraphrasing, led to significant differences in property taxes paid by taxpayers based on when they purchased the property. And what we also pointed out is created considerable distortions and inequities in the housing market. And so for an individual like myself and my wife, who were trying to be able to get into the market, my grandparents' ranch, 20 acres in the heart of Alexander Valley, had nearly the same amount of property tax than my 950-square-foot home and 15,000-foot lot in the city of Healdsburg, which there are some challenges with that. So simply wanted to be able to say, again, my own point of view, both sides of the story. I'll be the first to say there are significant benefits to Proposition 13, and there's great agreement, I think, from all of us on that. But just wanting to be able to point that out. But the reason why these amendments are not in front of the committee today is because they're not being formally considered by this committee, because prior to this committee and the communication with the good senator's office, he had decided not to be able to accept those amendments, which is fair, and agree with him in regards to that process, which is why they're not here today. Madam Vice Chair, I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking through your some of the amendments that you've proposed here. I'll be honest, if you were to take these amendments, I would not have supported it. Because I think this is just calling out an anniversary, really is the intention of when it was voted on, not what it is today. I think if there were, I mean, it could actually become two different resolutions, but a lot of the languages here has significantly changed in what the intention of the proposition was back when it was voted on. And when you're doing an anniversary or something, you want to go back to what it was voted on and not what we thought it is today or what we would like it to be today. Mr. Chairman, it's actually quite significant on some of the changes you made here. And so I'm not surprised the Senator Morrell has decided not to to take them. You know, I think that's I think it's unfortunate if this resolution fails. And I completely understand, Mr. Chairman, because I mean, you know, a lot of us younger folks who are entering the marketplace, it's very difficult. But at the end of the day, though, I look at buying a home as the ultimate American dream. Once you can buy a home in the United States, especially in the Golden State of California, it is the ultimate American dream. And so I hope that there are opportunities, not just for those who were way back, you know, when Prop 13 was voted on, but for a lot of us younger folks, those who are in their 30s, 40s, entering family. Because at the end of the day, the home is actually that equity that they will eventually find the right location that they will settle with their family and build a family. And so, Prop 13, its intention and what it was voted on was the right thing. I still believe in it, and I think it's helped a lot of individuals keep their home, keep their American dream, and be able to afford. I mean, right now, Orange County, a few weeks ago, just to be able to, rent, you have to have an average income of $84,000. Mm-hmm. Most of our homes, our rent is like $1,800 minimum for a single bedroom. And so you have multiple families. And so if property taxes goes up, more and more people will definitely be out, and that also goes with even businesses, because ultimately when property taxes go up, it will go down to the tenant, whether that home renters or office renters, and most of those who are going to be devastated with any kind of business property taxes increase would actually be the small business owners. They would be the first to lose their business. And so, I'm supportive of it today. And Mr. Chairman, maybe consideration is to have two. I mean, you should have your own Prop 13. And maybe there would be support for both. But I think there's an option out there. I mean, one is the anniversary when it was passed, and one is what you would like it to be today. Mm-hmm. Just a thought.
Thank you very much, Madam Vice Chair. I appreciate that. We do have Mr. Wolf is here. Through the committee, I'd like to be able to, even though we've closed the testimony, provide Mr. Wolf an opportunity to be able to testify to the committee if that works. Mr. Wolf, we welcome you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, sir, and I appreciate you squeezing me in here this morning. David Wolf with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association in support of the aptly named SR 39, celebrating the 39th anniversary of Prop 13, which was approved by voters this week, 39 years ago. And so happy birthday, Prop 13. I think, members, just briefly, in order to understand the value of Prop 13, you have to understand how property taxes worked prior to 1978. Back then, the tax rate was 3%, and it was not uncommon for taxes to double in any given year because property taxes were based on a person's highest and best value. The property was based on the highest and best value. The fiscal implications for seniors and those on fixed incomes was devastating. Members, we have letters in our offices from people back in 1978 thanking us for passing Prop 13 and allowing them to stay in their homes because they had paid off their mortgages, right? They were living out their golden years, living out that American dream, as Senator Wynn said, but they couldn't afford the property taxes, which could conceivably double in any given year. But members, and I think it's important to note this too, it's not just seniors that benefit from Prop 13. All property owners do, especially the younger ones. Case in point, me, right? I bought my home here in the Sacramento area 4 years ago, and now granted, I'm paying far more in property taxes than my next door neighbor is, right? And that's a common complaint that we hear from a lot of millennials just like me. And you would think that I might be voicing the common argument that the acquisition value-based system of Prop 13 is not fair. But members, I'm not complaining or whining here today because I know the system is entirely fair because in a few years, I know my property taxes are going to be roughly the same as my neighbors. And I think you can look to the United States Supreme Court decision of Nordlinger versus Hahn to really show that the system was fair. because individuals, when they buy their property, roughly know what their taxes are going to be 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the line because of Prop 13's acquisition-based system. And if that's too much money for people, the court's argument was really simple. Don't buy the house. And so, too, local governments have that same assurance about the revenue that they take in. It really, members, is all about stability for property owners, for local governments. Everybody benefits because of Prop 13, and deeply in support of this resolution, ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wolf. Do appreciate that. Do appreciate all the work with Mr. Morrell. Closing statement, sir.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, for your kind words today.
No.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, he just made me think of something, Mr. Wolf here, on two of the reasons businesses will leave states or they find it hard to compete. Three is regulations, high taxes, but they need consistency, and that's actually the number one thing. You gotta, if you're gonna play the baseball game, you don't want the rules changed in the ninth inning, and so businesses need consistency. It's how they forecast, can we, are we gonna be able to make this lease for 10 years work, and so if prices go up, it changes the numbers, and it's very difficult. So consistency is a good thing, as is Prop 13 for homeowners, because as Mr. Wolf stated, you know, our incomes can change, but God forbid if a person's having a difficult challenge in their life or a medical problem and their income drops and then their property taxes go up. So stability, consistency is a good thing. So in closing, look, I just asked for or an aye vote, as you guys would know, and either up or down, because we all need to go on the record that either we support low taxes and home ownership or we don't. So again, I'd appreciate an aye vote. And thank you again for your kind words.
No, thank you so much. Really appreciate Senator Morrell, all of his work, his staff's work leading into the committee. And while we have some disagreement on the language, I think that there is a lot of agreement of the language that's in there as well. So do appreciate that, sir, and for all your hard work on this. We do have a motion by Senator Murlock. This is a motion to be adopted, SR 39. Chair will be, unfortunately, voting no with all due respect to Senator Morrell. Roll call vote, please.
McGuire?
No.
McGuire, no. Wynn?
Oh.
Wynn, aye. Bell?
No.
Bell, no. Hernandez?
No.
Hernandez, no. Hertzberg? Laura? Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. 2-3.
Thank you so much. And again, do appreciate the work by Senator Morrell. That is currently a 2-3 vote. Senator, we're going to leave the roll open as we have both Mr. Hertzberg as well as Mr. Laura out of committee at the moment. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you, Mr. Wolf, for your testimony. All right, we're going to be jumping down to item number six in our agenda, and this is AB 733, Assemblymember Berman. This is focused on enhanced infrastructure financing districts, particularly focusing on climate change. We welcome the good Assemblyman from the Bay Area here to the committee. Assemblyman, obviously, we welcome your testimony. Each individual who will be testifying in support today will have 3 minutes, and I'll give them a 30-second prompt. Mr. Berman, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. As the impacts of climate change continue to be felt in California, such as flooding, drought, warmer temperatures, increased wildfires, and the threat of sea level rise, investments in infrastructure should take climate change into account. Local governments are at the forefront of addressing the impacts of climate change. However, funding is often the largest barrier to taking action. Enhanced infrastructure financing districts are a newer financing tool currently available to local governments that can fill this need and be used to incentivize action to adapt to the changing climate. Existing law includes a list of projects that may be financed by local governments through an enhanced infrastructure financing district. AB 733 would add projects that enable communities to adapt to the impacts of climate change to this existing list. These impacts could include, but are not limited to, extreme weather events, sea level rise, flooding, heat waves, wildfires, and drought. Explicitly stating that enhanced infrastructure financing districts can fund these types of projects will create awareness for local governments and will provide an option for those who want to utilize this financing tool to adapt to climate change. This bill has received no opposition and enjoys support from local governments that would benefit from this legislation. It passed out of the Assembly with strong bipartisan support, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
One of the biggest issues of our time, Assemblyman, appreciate all your work on this. Who is going to be leading off in regards to the presentation?
It looks like Jay Ziegler from the Nature Conservancy.
Mr. Ziegler, we welcome you, sir. You have 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second prompt. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. My name is Jay Ziegler. I'm the Policy Director for the Nature Conservancy. We greatly appreciate the efforts of Assemblymember Berman in raising the importance of enhanced infrastructure financing as an opportunity to creatively address climate change. In particular, we believe it is important to recognize the cost-effectiveness, durability, and practicality of green infrastructure and natural infrastructure solutions. To give you an idea of some specific projects that can be funded by the approach that Assemblymember Berman is advocating here. In the Sacramento area, floodplain expansion. All of us are aware of the Yolo Bypass. That's the kind of project that could be funded. Around San Francisco Bay, the nine-county effort to recover marshlands as a flood protection tool for communities, financing horizontal levees and marsh restoration. That's the kind of project that could be funded through Assemblymember Berman's approach in AB 733. In Los Angeles, multi-benefit stormwater strategies that reduce heat island effect, that provide for groundwater recharge, and enhance floodplain protection and water recovery is the kind of project that could be funded. In the San Joaquin Valley, the work of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act and Sustainable Groundwater Management Agencies could be enhanced for groundwater recovery in those basins through the financing mechanisms in AB 733. And floodplain expansion, which we need in rivers that have been impacted from the Merced to the Eel River, floodplain absorption efforts in Humboldt County that were incredibly successful, as well as the Santa Clara River in Ventura County, where floodplain strategies in collaboration with local government have provided the most cost-effective floodplain protection for those communities. So those are the kinds of projects that could be advanced under AB 733. The Nature Conservancy was strongly supportive of this approach, and we would ask for your aye vote.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ziegler. Appreciate your testimony. We welcome you, ma'am. If you can just give your first and last name, organization. You have 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second prompt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Christina Locke with the California Special Districts Association in strong support. Local governments, including special districts, currently have the ability to choose to participate in an EIFD to help fund critical infrastructure and other local projects. AB 733 simply provides local flexibility by explicitly allowing EIFDs to finance projects that enable communities to adapt to the impacts of climate change. Local governments are increasingly needing to adapt to these impacts. As we heard, a number of potential projects, these impacts affect us throughout the state, including things like coastal sea level rise, as well as inland with more intense wildfires, drought, tree mortality issues. This bill simply ensures that special districts have an additional and much needed funding option, a more diversified portfolio of revenue sources, if you will, to help address these impacts of climate change. And all of these, like I said, affect our communities throughout the state. So we ask your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate all the work by the association as well. It's good to have you here. We now welcome individuals who'd like to be able to speak in support of the bill, if you don't mind, first and last, in organization.
Sylvia Solis Shaw, on behalf of the City of Santa Monica and on behalf of the City and County Association of Governments of San Mateo County, in strong support. Thank you.
Solis Shaw, thank you so much. It's good to see you. Anyone else like to be able to speak in support of the bill, please come forward. All right, we're now going to welcome testimony of those who are opposed. Please advance. We're going to bring it back to committee for questions and conversations with the Assemblyman. Any questions or conversation, please, Mr. Morlock, and we'll welcome a motion at any time. Please, Mr. Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have the advantage of having Senator Bell here. And so for the enhanced infrastructure financing districts, it takes a 55% vote versus a two-thirds. And Assemblyman Berman, do we have anywhere in the code a clear definition of climate change?
I'm not familiar that there's a clear definition of climate change. You've heard today numerous examples of the types of projects that would fall under, and frankly already do fall under, enhanced infrastructure financing districts. This is, to be honest, I'm not going to oversell my bill. It's a modest bill that just really wants to call out in the code that projects that address climate change would qualify under enhanced infrastructure financing districts. You could argue they already do, but it doesn't explicitly state that, and we want to make sure that there's no ambiguity or confusion for local governments, and that they're specifically aware that these are projects that would apply.
Yeah, me too. So that's why I'm trying to prevent lawsuits or citizen groups going after something saying, "Well, this doesn't address climate change." And so I was just curious, but thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Murlock. We're going to go to Senator Bell. You just want to...
55% sale of bonds. Not to create one, but you can use finance. You can create one, but when you proceed to sell bonds, you have to.
All right. We'll see if there's any additional conversation or a motion to be able to advance the bill. We have a motion by Senator Bell now on the floor. Before we go to closing statement by Assemblyman, look, I think that if we just take a look at the Bay Area alone, there are billions. Tens of billions of dollars in need when it comes to infrastructure and infrastructure protection over the coming decades. And I think this will also assist with the nine Bay Area counties passing Measure A that will create a revenue source to ensure that we may see some enhanced funding here in the years to come. Appreciate all your work on this bill, sir. Would like to offer you time for a closing statement.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I couldn't have said it better myself, so I'll just respectfully ask for an aye vote.
All right, we do have a motion by Senator Bell. This is a due pass to the Senate Environmental Quality Committee. Roll call vote, please. Ms. Lanchester.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn.
No.
Wynn, no. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Hertzberg. Lara.
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morlock. Morlock, no.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I think this is the Assemblyman's first bill on the Senate side.
Oh, my gosh. That is incredible. I know. That's what I'm saying. Hey, see, there we go. Throwing candy out. I like it. See, watch out.
We're very Hold sweet on. Side.
Can we retake that?
Absolutely. That's see, here we go.
Technically, I got a bill out of elections and we call it elections and redistricting. I can't remember if that's what it's called on the Senate.
Oh, but we're better.
But yeah, yeah.
We're much better than that.
Exactly. Damn, I like it.
So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's currently a 4-2 vote. We're going to leave the roll open, and we'll wait for Mr. Hertzberg to be able to come back. Thank you so much, Assemblyman. It's good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
We're now going to be moving on to the Assemblyman from the East Bay in the Bay Area. That's Assembly Bill 549, Mr. Quirk, as well as bordering some parts of Santa Clara County. This is focused on local government building permits, specifically looking at electrified security fences. Assemblymember Quirk, we welcome your testimony. If you have any individuals who are going to be testifying on behalf of the bill, we ask them to please keep it to 3 minutes with a 30-second prompt. The floor is yours, Assemblyman. Thank you for being here. All right, we have a, looks like we may have bipartisan support. We have a motion currently on the floor by the Vice Chair. Assemblyman, we're going to ask you to make this quick. So we offer a truncated version of your presentation.
Thank you, Chair and members. I want to start by accepting the committee's amendments as suggested on page 3 of the analysis to clarify local governments can charge a fee to cover the cost of notifications. With me today is Christy Boma with the California Professional Firefighters Association.
Thank you so much. Quickly, Ms. Boma, we welcome you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Christy Boma on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters in strong support.
Here we go. Thank you so much, both of you. We'd like to be able to see if we have any other individuals who would like to be able to speak in support of the bill. Please come forward at this time. Come on down. If you could just state your first and last name, your organization, and your position.
I'll do my best to be brief since the member is being brief. My name is John Lee. I'm the Director of Compliance for the Electric Guard Dog. We are the nation's largest installer of electrified security fences. We have 4,000 nationwide, and we're still growing. In 2015, we were the primary sponsor of Senate Bill 582, which eventually became California Civil Code Section 835. And that section lays out and articulates the standard of safety for the installation of electrified security fences in the state of California. We are here to support AB 549 because it's about firefighter safety, which is of paramount importance for our company. So much so that we have a self-imposed requirement that we install a Knox box with all of our installations. So the Knox box is a universal key, as you may or may not know, that we give to the local fire department agency so that they can safely turn the key, kill the switch, walk on the premises when there's an emergency, and not be subject to any kind of risk of harm or so. So we definitely support 549 for those reasons. One point of clarification we wanted to make, and I'd be remiss if I did not bring it up, is that in the fact sheet, it makes mentioned in its preamble about, and I'm quoting here, electric fences along businesses in urban areas are posing a new safety danger to these brave first responders. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring the attention that we don't agree with that. We feel that this is a very safe product. And furthermore, A35 was unanimously approved by both houses of the Senate and Assembly and their respective Senate and House Judiciary Committees unanimously. And we find it hard to believe that you guys wouldn't have thought it was safe if you wouldn't have voted for it if you thought it was unsafe. So with that said, we do support 549, and we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, and we're grateful that you're here today, and thank you so much for your testimony. We'd like to be able to see if there's anyone else in support of the bill to please advance at this time. We're going to welcome any individual who would like to be able to speak in opposition to the bill to please come forward. All right, we're going to bring it back to committee. We'd like to be able to see if we have any questions or comments. We do have a motion by the vice chair, which is a do pass as amended to appropriations. Are there any questions or comments, please, Mr. Morlock?
I don't want to let Assemblyman Quirk out of here easy.
There we go.
Is this retroactive? We have current fences.
I don't think so.
And just out of curiosity, when you go to the planning department, wouldn't they include other departments, you know, as a sign-off? Isn't this sort of like standard operating
procedure? One would think that they would, but what we're hearing from the Alameda County firefighters who asked me to bring this forward is that they are encountering areas that they're not sure are electrified or not, and they just wanted to make sure that they knew where the electrical fences were.
All right. Just didn't want you to get off easy.
All right.
Please, thank you so much. And as right before we go to Mr. Lara, as the bill reads, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's the new regs would be when the bill goes into effect, so could be inferred to be able to look forward and not looking back. So just
we'll check that out. And this is my close.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to Mr. Lara.
Thank you. Just a statement. You know, I don't like walls. I don't like fences, but I'll make an exception this week.
Hey, there we go. Hot dang. All right. Nice. I like that, Mr. Lara. That is good stuff. God damn. We do have a close by Assemblymember Quirk. So this, again, is a do pass as amended to appropriations. Motion by the vice chair. Roll call vote, please.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn.
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Hertzberg. Lara.
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye.
Thank you, Senators.
Thank you so much. That is currently 6-0. Thank you so much, Assemblyman. Appreciate all your work on this. We're going to ask if we can please call Senator Hertzberg to the committee to be able to come vote. Thank you so much. Yep, we're going to be moving forward on the consent calendar. Two bills on the consent calendar, AB 94 as well as AB 652, currently a 4-0 vote. Ms. Lanchester, let's add on.
Hernandez. Hernandez, aye. Hertzberg. Lara.
Aye.
Lara, aye.
Currently a 6-0. We're going to go right to it. It's pulled. So we had item number 3 and item number 7 pulled today. Item number 3 and item number 7 were both author pulls. Which one would you like to go to next, Ms. Lanchester?
39.
So, all right. Do you have that?
Yes, sir.
Lanchester is always correct. She said, where the hell is your sheet? You have it. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much. So currently the vote for SR 39 is a 2-3 with the chair voting no. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Lanchester.
Hertzberg?
Chair voted no.
No. Hertzberg, no. Lara?
No.
Lara, no. That's a 2-5.
All right, that is a 2-5, and we are going to grant reconsideration as well to that bill, which would be unanimous consent. We're now moving on. Now moving on to item number 6, AB 733, Berman. This is a do pass to the Senate Environmental Quality Committee. Current vote is 4-2 with the chair voting aye. Roll call vote, please.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. That's 5-2.
5-2. Thank you so much. Do you have anything?
Lara, I believe he's done.
You're good. Thank you.
Okay. Hertzberg for 549.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. We're now going to be moving on to AB 549 Quirk. This is currently enjoys a 6-0 vote. This is a due pass as amended to appropriations. Roll call, please.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. 7-0.
Okay, that bill is out. We're closing the roll. We need to do
consent calendar. Okay, that's it.
We have one additional item for Mr. Hertzberg, and that is bills on consent. We have item number 2, AB 94, item number 5, AB 652 on consent, currently enjoys a 6-0 vote. Please, Ms. Hey, there we go. Roll call, please.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye.
That is 7-0. We are going to close the roll. We are done. I want to say thank you so much to, of course, the government finance team, Ms. Lanchester, for always keeping us moving. We'll be re-adjourning. Our next hearing should probably be about an hour and a half to 2 hours next week. So got some good times ahead. Thank you so much, and we are adjourned.